We're back after a brief pause. A pause. Not sure what a pause is, but this is the news according to me.
Yes, yes, yes. I am, this is a brief pause. Pause.
Pause.
Yeah. Well, folks, welcome to this afternoon's show. This is the afternoon show, for those of you who don't know, because it's in the afternoon. This is 5 o'clock. It's actually kind of late. 5 o'clock on Monday morning. Monday afternoon. Monday morning. It was morning somewhere. And April 19th, 2021. The and I, just for those of you who need to know, I'm sipping on some black tea that's actually peach-flavored black tea. With a little bit of sugar in it. It's hot tea, by the way. It's not, it's kind of lukewarm now. Kind of lost some of its hotness, much like myself. But it doesn't have any honey or anything in it. I'm just kind of using it to soothe my throat. To keep those smooth, pearly pipes cranking out the sounds that you want to hear. Yeah. I said this morning I was going to talk about some legislation stuff this afternoon's show. But there's more and more stupid comments being made. I think I should have a day where I just have this like stupid comment Wednesday or something like that, where I just have stupid comments from politicians and pundits. Because it seems that there's no end or no lack of stupid comments being made by individuals running the show. Not this show. But some shows, the political show and the news media show. And now comedians are, I don't know if this is coming from comedians. I'm not sure who plagiarized who here, but somebody possibly did because this is the same thing being said. So I'll have to figure that out. There's just a lot of rhetoric. And this is, I was just thinking about this the other day over the weekend. And, I don't know if this is, kind of a revelation from, I hesitate to, I know what it is to speak prophetically. Okay, I've had that bestowed upon me a few times in my life when I knew I was really speaking the heart of God. And I was just, I think that just by mere existence, if we're walking in the Spirit, there are times when we speak without even realizing what we're saying. I've had multiple instances, in fact, probably more really powerful things that I've said that I was just making an off-the-cuff statement in a room where I didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. This has happened in a lot of different circumstances, but I can think of several, where I wasn't standing there saying, "Thus says the Lord," but it was just something where I was happened to be in a meeting or happened to be walking past someone in a meeting and just kind of trying to make a light little comment, just a little, some levity or just some kind of sarcastic remark. I know most of you don't realize I'm sarcastic. I have a sarcastic sense of humor. Maybe some of you haven't figured that out yet, but it tends to, once in a while, it shows itself. It's like right now. So I appreciate that kind of humor, but I also sometimes I think that has been actually used to speak into situations that I had no idea until I stepped in it with my little comment and then realized I was actually speaking out something. And I can't specifically remember like specifics exactly what was said in certain circumstances. There was one, the circumstance where I was playing drums at a church. I was on the worship team. And, it was, we had the morning practice. We had the Thursday night practice. Then we had the practice right before the event. And we did our practice. We were taking our break and I was going to go back and walk back through the sanctuary and go back to someplace, get a drink probably. And, or get some water. I'm not sure what I was going to, and probably get some tea, probably is what I was going to do. And knowing me, as I'm walking through the back of the thing there, there's this kind of intense conversation going on. I didn't really pay that much. I mean, it wasn't that intense. I wasn't yelling and screaming at each other, but I was just, I was walking back, through the auditorium there. And as I was going across the back of the auditorium, right behind the sound booth, there were these two people talking. And I kind of made kind of a joke as I was walking past. And I think one of them I was going to ask a question. So I kind of walked up, made a comment, kind of turned right back around to kind of wait till they were done. Cause I was going to ask the one guy a question. He was kind of the sound guy that morning. And this sound guy was, he knew what he was doing. He's a professional. First of all, he's for a living. He works for a company that installs systems like Crown Systems and big auditorium systems. He knows sound systems. Not only does he know sound systems, he has worked in the sound industry for various artists. I don't know if any of you know who Rich Mullins is. He was an artist back in the day. He was involved in a tragic car accident. And also Amy Grant. He actually worked, was on tour with her for a while. And he was head of front of house. So he was like the main coordinator guy. And not only does he know about microphones and actually, getting good live sound, he also understands the sound system itself. I mean, he knows how to install them. He knows how to make the room sound right. Stuff like that. Professional guy. Well, he was getting chewed out by the pastor of Sunday morning services, I guess it was. I don't know what they call him. Weekend services or something, celebrations, whatever they called it. He wasn't a pastor, really. He was just a show director. I've had a little bit of a bitter experience with mega churches, by the way, just to let you know. There's nothing wrong with a mega church, but there's some things wrong with some mega churches. And I think the megachurch mentality has a tendency to step on people to get the job done. That's all I'm going to say about that. This idea that they use people to get the job done is probably more accurate. Because it's, the show must go on. The show is more important than anybody's little, struggles that they might be having. They try to get around that. They try to pretend like they care, but they, I'm not talking about all churches, but I'm just saying it tends to be because the show is the big deal. That's where, the people come in and they watch the show and that's where they give their money. And sometimes they have, three or four shows in a day or on a weekend and they have to all be the same. So they have to be run by the clock. And it is a cookie cutter mentality from one show to the next, and pretty much every Sunday is the same. Now, having said all that, I got my gripe out of the way on that one. Now, I'm not saying that God can't work in that, and I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm simply saying that sometimes the show becomes more important than the actual ministry itself to people. And someone say, well, that is the ministry to people. We're drawing people in. Well, okay, that's fine. Whatever. Say what you want to say. I'm not going to, I'm going to stand before God and answer for my own decisions in my life. Okay, so that's enough for me. I don't need to stand before God and answer for your decisions, and I don't expect I know you're not going to defend mine. So we'll just go with that. It has more to do with me and standing before God and answering for my decisions, which are pretty pathetic. So I'm, you know, that's where mercy comes in. And God have mercy on us all, because we are pretty pathetic in our attempts to impress God. Just going to say that. Because that ain't happening. Just look up at the stars tonight and think about how you might be able to impress God. I mean, he's, you know, I'm not saying he doesn't love you and doesn't care about you and isn't happy about every breath you take to praise him. I'm just saying, if you think you're going to do something that's going to add something to the cross or add something to what he's done, that's pretty tough. It's pretty tough. That's a pretty tough thing. I'm just saying. I hope you understand what I mean. I'm just trying to, you know, convey my thoughts there. A little humility sometimes would be maybe in our okay. So I have to check a. I've been looking at Doge or Doge. I don't know what people. Everybody pronounces this differently. I've been looking at it recently, and it's kind of an interesting phenomena. My nephew has he bought into it. He bought it, but when it was like less than a penny, got a bunch of shares. I wish I had bought about 10,000 shares of it now. Wish I'd have bought $1,000 worth of it. Let's just put it that way. Because today, I would be selling out and just retiring. I'd be done. I'd be done with that. There you go. That's what I would do. But So I don't know. My nephew just texted me with this information about Doge, D-O-G-E, on the trading wheel there. Apparently, it's doing something interesting. I don't know. I don't know what it's doing. Anyway. The interesting thing about all this is that sometimes, you know, when I say something like this, I hesitate to, you know, I don't want to say thus says the Lord, but I want to say I think this was something that God laid on my heart to be aware of. Now, this isn't always for everybody, but I think he was telling me. And I've had these moments. This is the kind of thing, it's happened to me since high school. I had a revelation. I still remember where I was. I was standing in the hallway in school, and I just happened to, or kind of was kind of in a conversation, and happened to mention something about a credit card. And the next thing I know, I'm talking about the future of the financial industry, the financial network, the financial forecast, basically for the way the money system is going to work. And it turned out to be incredibly true. And it's been, that was 40 years ago, more than 40 years ago. And it was just kind of this thing where I just kind of saw a credit card in front of me. It wasn't a physical credit card. I just had this picture of a credit card and realizing that where the banking industry was going to go in terms of cashless society and all that kind of stuff, and the way the technology works. So anyway, all that said, I believe that what we're seeing with cancel culture now. You know, I keep asking the question: how is this going to end? At what point will we be done with the cancel culture stuff? Because I guarantee you, people cannot live up to their own standards here. This is, you know, this the standards by which people are being judged right now. The scary part about this is they don't realize that they're the hypocritical. Or the hypocrites that they are in saying what they're saying, because they're, you know, they're guilty of the same thing. It's just a matter of time before this turns on them, and they find out how bad this really is. They were using the excuse of, you know, Orange Man bad, and I'm going to show you how much better I am and how much higher I am than he, because I need to demonstrate my virtue to you by telling you how immoral he is. These are people who are calling Trump out for saying things about women and all this other stuff. And yet on the same side of the coin, these are the same people who think that Bill Clinton was one of the best presidents ever in the modern history of humanity. A man who wasn't that vocal about saying things about women that we know of. I mean, the media would have covered it anyway. But he certainly took advantage of, and of course they would say, oh, it's consensual. It's consensual. I guarantee you, if Donald Trump would have done something like this, like they were impeaching him just for looking at somebody wrong, just for making a phone call. What do you think it would have been like if he would have been messing around, taking advantage of an intern in the Oval Office? The hypocrisy is, like I've said, it is beyond the pale. You can't even call them out on it because it's so ridiculous. They're so blind to it because they're just enraged. But this has now in continued to enrage them to the point that they are so blind to their own self, you know, their own self-awareness is so gone that they are now coming after, and the cancel culture thing, the pitchforks come out just because of the word Anglo-Saxon. They don't understand. You realize there are churches called Anglo-Episcopal churches. Anglo simply is basically it's a different term for European, which is, yeah, white. Much like African-American is kind of like, you know, black. And it is apparently something shameful to be spoken of, to say that Anglo or white people, whatever. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene. MTG. She was kind of trying to come up with this caucus idea. And there were a lot of guys kind of talking about jumping in, and there was apparently this draft made up of some kind of a statement about the caucus and what it was going to be. Well, they have effectively, you know, nipped that in the bud now, because all of a sudden there was somebody put something in the draft about Anglo-Saxon principles of government, which is exactly what our government came from. Our government came from an Anglo-Saxon European-style government. But it was built upon a reformation of that, or a rebellion of that, of their system, based on making it better. You know, the legal system, the structure, the whole, all that stuff. But they inserted one thing in the foundation of that whole thing that changed from the monarchy, if you will, of the British Empire and the crown to a government for of and by the people, and that was individual liberty. And I still hear people talking about our country today, even people on the right, people on the what I would call libertarian side of things, who, even the constitutionalists, who do not understand that basic principle, the foundation of our principle. It kind of goes without saying, and the founders didn't really talk that much about it, but everything that this speaks of, the elephant in the room is individuals have rights, and they cannot be taken away from the state by the state. They're not given to us by the state. They cannot be taken away from by the state without due process. Now, there was a young woman recently who made a big mistake. Meant to use her taser and shot up a boy with a gun because the boy was resisting arrest. A man, young man, was resisting arrest. In the process of resisting arrest, there was a struggle. And during that struggle, she said, taser, 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 and then pulled the trigger and realized it was her gun, not her taser. Now, it was a very confusing situation, kind of a fog of war type thing. And, yeah, she made a mistake. Stupid mistake. So for somebody who's been on the force that long, it's ridiculous. And in the process, this poor kid, he dies. Now, he made his decision to try to run away. Now, keep in mind, this man had a rap sheet. He had an expired license plate. They found out he had a warrant, which is why they were going to take him in. They weren't just going to give him a ticket. Now, here's stupid statement number one, was someone in Congress stands in the podium on the House floor and says, this man should not have been shot. He shouldn't have been. There shouldn't have been any taser used at all. Shouldn't have been any force of any kind, because his offense only justified having a ticket. Yeah, his offense. You know, they could have pulled up, done the ticket, run his plate. Oh, it's expired. We're going to give you a ticket for that, or a warning, or whatever they're going to give him. And then you drive away. Problem was, when they ran his ID, they find out he's got a warrant for his arrest for a gun crime. So in the process of getting him out of the car, which they did a poor job of, they should have got him around to the back of the car, maintain control of this guy. And then if they're going to do a search on the car, they're going to do anything, or going to get him. They almost had him in cuffs. One officer almost had him cuffed. And the other officer, which I believe was the female officer, stepped in. I don't know if she was the senior officer. I don't know how they set up their setup, you know, their whole little thing there. I don't know what they were doing. And he took that moment of opportunity when they were switching control to push her back, push them out of the way, and get the door. You know, get the door. He didn't get the door shut, but he got the door. He got in the door. I think the door was actually shut before they did anything. And he opens the door, car door, jumps in. They hold the door open. He's getting ready to go. She says, taser, 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 to make everybody step back. And she fires the gun. And he drives off. And then he crashes. And he dies. Someone else was in the car, actually, as well. So, stupid statement number one is this guy saying that he should have just gotten a ticket. No. If that's all he did, yeah, he should have just gotten a ticket. And now she's up for second-degree manslaughter. Now, that's one. Now, there's also a trial going on. Some of you may have heard about it up in Minnesota. And so the Derek Chauvin trial, he's up there and he's being tried for second degree murder. I think possibly second and third degree murder are the charges that are up there. No way he gets second degree. Second degree also has intent, and I don't see how they get intent out of this. I don't think he intended to kill George Floyd. I'm sorry, that's my opinion, but I don't see it. I've listened to some of the trial. I don't see any intent for this guy to have tried to. I don't think he intended to kill him. Even if he didn't like the guy, even if he didn't like George Floyd, I don't know that he intended to kill him. Now they're in deliberation now. I have not heard the defense's closing statements. I heard the prosecution's closing statement, and I'll tell you what, it is pathetic. It was pathetic. You don't lie to, just don't lie, okay? Just don't lie. He was lying about some things. And I'm not going to get into all the things he said, because he said a whole bunch of things, but he just flat out lied on so many details in his closing statement that it was just pathetic. And of course, those are the sound bites that they need for to drum up the crowd, so that we're going to have riots later on when this doesn't go through well. Now, he was not up for first degree murder. Keep in mind, first degree murder is premeditated intent to murder someone, pre-planned, you set out to kill that individual. Or any individual, even if it's just a random individual. He obviously did not do that. However, there is an individual in Congress, of course, who made it her duty to travel from D.C. to Minneapolis, to go out at night, surrounded by bodyguards and a police escort, and talk to the media there and make some statements. And her statements, she's kind of half out of it anyway. One of her statements that she made was that, in her opinion, this was first-degree murder. Anything less than that, they need to stay in the streets. Now, she never used the word peaceful or peaceable or peaceably. She was simply out there drumming it up. Keep that in mind. I'm not going to play what she said because, frankly, I'm sick of hearing her talk. I've heard that other thing where she's standing on, she's standing on a car or standing up somewhere, and she goes, "When you see a crowd, you get out there and you cause, whatever." I'm tired of hearing that. Because it is absolute incitement of people's emotions. And then she's got the nerve to call out somebody else, to call on some, it just, she wants people expelled and fired. And this, where is this going to end? I'm going to get to that later on. All this is leading up to that. I've got it all straightened out in my head. And if you believe that, I've also got a bridge I want to sell you. The thing about it is, so she goes out there and she makes all these comments. So this is like statement number two. Stupid things people say. And it does nothing but incite and give people the reasons for, people are still accountable for the things that they do. These people out there in the street make their own decisions. But they have already decided. There's no, innocent until proven guilty thing. Now, imagine, if you will, I was listening to Matt Walsh this afternoon a little bit, and he made this statement as well, and I totally agree, it of course. But he said he would never want to be on that jury. He would do anything he could to get out of that being on that jury. And I have to agree, that's not a thing I would want to do, because they're going to be doxxed. It's going to leak out who they are. Now, this could be another O.J. trial incident where they did poorly in selecting the jurors. People will lie to get on a jury to make a decision one way or the other. And it's, they might step up there and say, "I have I don't have any biases or anything either way." And they're just waiting for that opportunity to run this guy to the guillotine. I don't know. Could be the other way around. I doubt it. Most sane individuals who realize this guy probably, had no intent, and that George probably died, most likely, of other causes. It was the whole thing on the neck was not the cause of death. Maybe it was. We'll know someday. It'll all be revealed, I guarantee you. So, we have all this stuff going on, excuse me, and in the midst of it, of course, you got people like Maxine Waters who comes in and throws an emotional stirrup grenade in the middle of the thing. And then we have, people in the news media who are continuing to only show sound clips and bites that are, that will incite people to believe that it's just one side of this story. So now we have a jury that's caught in the middle of this whole thing. If, by chance, it's their decision to make, they've saw the whole thing, I haven't seen the whole trial. If they decide that he's guilty, then so be it, and that's, I guarantee you, it will not be enough. They could say he's guilty of murder and second degree murder. He's guilty of that. And they'll come back and put him away for 25 years or whatever, 30 years for life, whatever. And these people will not, that's not enough. and they'll burn the city down. They're already doing that now anyway. And if they don't convict him, I don't think he gets acquitted. But if they convict him of manslaughter or something, some lesser charge, first of all, this guy, you know, if he gets out of prison, God help him, because he's going to have a hard time. He's going to be in witness protection or something. I don't know. Something's going to have to happen to him. He's going to be in big trouble. Hunted down like a dog, as Maxine Waters would say. And then you've got the people who will go after the jury, because if the jury decides that he's not guilty, they're going to be in trouble too, and they probably know that. Maybe they have no idea what the media's probably been saying about the whole trial. They have no idea. All they've been seeing is, partial facts and information, and trying to listen to some of these experts. So that's the other situation that's going on. Now, in the meantime, at the same time, and this is a time when the media and some of these politicians and pundits need to kind of be quiet about some of this stuff, because they've already done enough damage. Maxine Waters is saying they need to do more. They need to ramp it up. Ramp up the protests, which I don't know how much further you go. There's already 2 hours after she said that, there was a drive-by shooting at National Guards that were in the area to help, because they know that this could be bad. Either way, it's gonna be bad, I think. But if he gets acquitted, if he gets off, no matter what city you are in, you probably should be guarding your property. Because this could turn out bad. I don't know. The other statements that are being made, and this is by Chris Cuomo, also kind of echoed by Chris Rock. Now, Chris Rock has said some things, and I don't know if, I think this kind of may have been, he may have influenced Chris Cuomo. Chris Cuomo is a CNN anchor, famous for talking to Don Lemon. They have shows that are back to back, I guess. And Chris Cuomo has, brother of Andrew Cuomo, who also came out and made some statements the other day about some things about the police. Idiotic statements. And Chris Cuomo says that this isn't going to stop. This isn't going to stop until white kids start dying. When the police start shooting white kids, then the white community is going to notice it, and they're going to say something. Then it'll stop. And we start seeing some white mothers crying for their kids. He apparently has never seen the statistics on this at all, because actually more white kids are shot by police officers than black kids. I know it's hard to believe. Well, then you say, well, it's because there's more. More white kids. Yeah. So? And then what's your point? Because the news media makes it sound like none of them are. Like you just get away with it because you just pull out your white privilege card and that's what you get away with. So, there's that stupid statement. And Chris Rock basically said the same thing. I guess they want to even the score. More white kids dying. That way, this will become an issue. That's not the answer, folks. That's not the answer to our problems. Okay, having white kids killed is not going to solve the problem. Having black kids killed is not going to solve the problem. Having kids being killed is not solving the problem on either side of this fence, if you want to call it that. Kids being killed is not going to solve the problem, regardless of who they are or what kind of gender they are, or whatever culture they came from or ethnos they are. How are you proposing we solve this problem, Mr. Cuomo? Because there's a problem, and it's, you know, we definitely have a problem here. And it's not a skin color problem. I've talked about it before, and I'll talk about it again sometime, not right now. But there is definitely an issue that needs to be discussed, and a hard look within ourselves needs to happen. Now, having said all of that, Joe Biden has made some statements recently as well, some stupid statements. I just had it up here, and I don't know what happened to it. There you go. Biden calls Masters champion, the guy who won the Masters, a Japanese boy. I got to tell you, that's not necessarily a racist statement, but the left would say it is if a white man said it. If anybody else said it, somebody on the right said that, if Donald Trump would have said that, it just shows his racism. Biden can say that and get away with it because he's just a stupid old man. He just, you know, he's just an old guy. Oh, it's old Uncle Joe. You know, he's a moving kind of slow at the junction. Yeah. And that's how he'll get away with that. The left will not, you know, they'll even put that on. But that's the kind of thing he'll say that if anybody else said that, I don't see a real problem with that statement, frankly. The word boy is stupid. It's disrespectful. He's a man. And he should be, you know, he's Japanese. I'm surprised Joe didn't call him a Jap. That would have been, from his generation, that's what they would have called him. So he's getting some flack for that from the right, which I think is a stupid thing to pick on, but that's what they're going to pick on. But again, we'll get back to the double standard thing. That's, you know, it just doesn't matter. So already there's a Chauvin witness. It was an individual who I believe was one of the experts on force, I think, use of force, who was basically saying that, I don't know what he said, but I think this is who it was. I'm not sure. One of the Chauvin witnesses who was basically, his testimony was favorable for Derek Chauvin. Some thugs apparently attempted to attack his home already. Trial's not even over with yet, but they're going after the guy. And I use the word thug. I'll talk about that in a little bit. Thugs attack the home. Then they find out it's the wrong home. Wasn't where the witness lived. It'll be interesting to see if anything ever happens to those guys, to those people. Because if they, you know, if they do get put in jail, I'm sure Kamala will find a way to get them bailed out for peacefully protesting inside the guy's house. Wasn't even his house. The word thug comes from thuggy. Thuggies were a group of individuals in the Himalayan mountains. Had nothing to do with black culture at all. It's more Asian than black, than African-American. African, whatever. The thuggies were a colony of individuals who would find people, you know, moving through their area, in the base, the foothills of the Himalayas, and they would travelers would come through, and of course they would sometimes there'd be stragglers because they get lost or whatever would happen, and they would take these people in, and pretend like they were their friends and they were going to help them, and they were going to befriend them and treat them very well and have them for dinner. And actually, that's what they would do. They would have them for dinner. They wouldn't necessarily eat them. Sometimes they would. But they would kill them brutally. after having an evening, you know, whatever, they'd wait, he put them to bed, put them in a special place, and they would just kill them in the middle of the night and take everything. Take all their stuff. It was like a, cultural ceremony for them to do this. They had to treat them very well before they murdered them. It was the whole community was sick like that. They were called thuggies. This is the thuggy, this is where we get the word thugs. It has nothing to do with the black community. Okay, they're trying to take it on as if it is, but it's not. It's not. It has nothing to do with that. So, now we have not 85,000 troops near the border, Russia-Ukraine border. We have 150,000. Yeah. Tell me there's not something about to happen there. When the number gets a little over 200,000, it could happen at any second. I'm guessing we're going to see about 250 to 300,000 troops movement, not necessarily all at the border, but they are stepping things up there. And the mechanized and everything else that's pulling into there is going to be very, very crucial. I would imagine there are some generals in our military right now that are sweating bullets. Because they see what's going on, and we've got a commander-in-chief who has no clue what's going on. Can't find his way out of his bedroom in the morning. Yeah. Let's see. So we're getting back to this whole thing about the stupid statements. And we have, so Chris Rock basically makes a very similar statement to Andrew Cuomo, or Chris Cuomo. Says something about kids dying. So we got that going for us. And then we got all this stuff is kind of circling around. Now, in the midst of all of this, we have an issue of cancel culture now beginning to swoop in. They've almost got everything done that they need to do. By the end of this year, pretty much everything that they need to do will be done. And here's what's being done. I'll kind of give you an idea of where the agenda. I don't know that anybody actually has this written down, but this is what's happening. And this gets back to what I believe we're going to see here soon. The next few years, if not sooner. We have a situation where we have we are attacking people and this is coming from people who are in protected classes. And I've talked about this before. Protected classes of individuals. We have, you know, at first it was, you know, the civil rights movement, in which made blacks protected, had special rights, not equal rights, special rights. And so this is some of the people that are for civil rights were against the civil rights legislation. There were even people, there are black people who were against it. It really kind of went, and even if you quote Martin Luther King Jr. now, you are basically a racist because he used the word Negro. So I don't know what you do with the United Negro College Fund. I'm not sure what you do with that anymore. Should they be canceled? So we had, there are times in our culture, in our American culture, in our history, when we used certain terms that were perfectly acceptable that are now considered derogatory. And, okay, fine. I don't get how we go from there to calling it racist because it came from a racist time in our history. That just depends on what you've been taught about our history as well, which is there's a whole different narrative that's been given to our. What our kids are learning now in high school and in college about our nation's history. And this stuff's been going on for a while, but when you had books that couldn't just be changed on a whim, they printed books, and you had those textbooks for several years, and then you printed out another, you know, you made another textbook, and there was, you know, people could go through those textbooks and compare and make sure that the history stayed the same and all those things were written down. Couldn't just go in the middle of the night on Wikipedia and change them. We had encyclopedias instead of Wikipedias that you would keep for generations with information in it from, you know, from the time. And we had a yearbook encyclopedia as well. They're awesome. I think we have lost ours. Our family had. There was a move that we did with my mom's home, and I'm pretty sure we lost those. But they were fascinating because they were the closest thing to actual, you know, written reporting of what was going on in the day. Now there was some bias, I'm sure, in there, but it's very hard to change that because once you put it in a book, you can't, you know, go around all the books that you put out there and change them again. Whereas when you centralize it all in one control, like a Wikipedia thing, you can go in and just change it. You can rewrite history right there. It's 1984, folks. It's here to stay. It's not going to get any better. So take screenshots of stuff if you see something happening, and take a screenshot of it because they might change it later. So the interesting thing about all this is how they're continuing to mold this narrative out. And here, this is the gist of what I wanted to say, what I started off with, is this. We have protected classes of all kinds. We have, you know, the gender protected. Now, females are protected. They get special rights. Especially if you are a African American or a black female, Latino, Hispanic, however you want to, I'm not sure what's politically correct there anymore either. So just Latin, from the South, southern part of the country, southern part of the continent, central, whatever. Anyone other than a white, straight male. You are protected. You're being protected from the white straight males who are racist, misogynist, homophobic pigs. Evil people. The white devil, as Farrakhan would say. Okay, so that's where we're at. Now, do you see what's happening here? And the white male in this country is a minority. When you have everyone else, when you consider everyone else who's not white, are the protected class. And then you have the white straight male who is not protected other than the Bill of Rights. Recently had a, you know, the lady who shot, I was getting into this, and I think I actually might have missed my point, believe it or not. I think I actually went down the bunny trail. Woman recently who shot the young man instead of tasering him. The police commissioner came out and said something so outrageous that he had to resign. He was asked to resign. We all know what that means. He was fired. I was asked to resign once. I knew what it meant. The thing he said was, we have to wait and give her due process. How outrageous that you would think that we have to wait and be patient and let her have due process. That's not what we want. We want to see her hang now. You'll get a fair trial and then hang. He was asked to resign. A black man was fired from his job because he had the audacity to say that she deserved due process, something that every individual deserves. Part of that due process, of course, is that an investigation by the police department itself, as well as due process from the criminal system, the court system. And yet, that is so egregious that he must be eliminated from his job. This is where we've come, folks. That the basic civil rights that all of us have are gone because mob rule, because the court of public opinion is upon us. And when you have people like Jack Dorsey and Zucker and people like that who are in charge of the social media in the town square, who are no longer editing or censoring people because of foul language or inappropriate content, they're deciding what truth is now, or which truth you can even talk about. You can present facts and be censored. Facts. Let alone your opinion on those facts. Simply for being on the wrong side of the aisle. And it is absolutely horrifying to see this happening. And it's just a matter of time. It's a matter of time before they begin. Something's going to happen. There's going to either be an event, or it's just going to continue to escalate and percolate up to the point where they find that the white, straight, Christian male is the enemy of the country. And we must eliminate them. We must put them down. We must make them our servants. Because they are to blame for all the bad things in the country, all the bad things in the world. But somehow, this is going to happen. There will be a vilification, I mark my word. This is going to happen. It's heading there now. People just don't really see it because it's sneaking its way around in all kinds of different ways. But the setup is there. Now, do I believe people are intentionally setting out to do this? Some are. Some people have it in their heart to do this. However, I believe there's something more behind it. I believe there's a spirit behind it. Because, you know, Scripture says, ethnos will rise against ethnos, or people group. It says nation will rise against nation. The word there means people group or ethnos. Ethnic cultures will rise against each other. And we're definitely seeing that now. The trouble that we have in the midst of that is that the division and the conquering, the divide and conquer mentality that we see in the midst of that is it's very powerful. Once they start to eliminate one people group, they will start to eliminate another people group. And it's just look at the chaos that has broken out in other countries where this kind of civil unrest and division of tribes. It doesn't matter. I mean, there are tribes in Africa that fight against each other brutally who are the same skin color. It has nothing to do with that. Not their skin color. It's the cultural issues that they have between each other, which is where we're heading. And white or Anglo-Saxon European culture is something to be ashamed of now. Because, you know, African culture has done no wrong. There's the Africans, they never committed any rapes or murders or any bad wars, never any atrocities. They never had any slaves. Oh, wait, maybe they did. Little known fact, the very first slave owner in this country, was a black man. He was African. But I digress. Let's move on. It's such a serious time because I really believe, and I really think we're heading towards seriousness in this country, a seriousness like we've never seen. And I hope I can prepare you for all this, because it's serious. This is some tough times we're going to come into. I think we're going to see more civil unrest, more trouble, problems. The economy is going to start going backwards here soon, in the next year. And the cycle says that and with the all the election stuff going on, and it's just so much going on. My head's about to pop off. If you listen to me this morning, I went on for about 20 minutes of just all the news stuff, all the different topics, let alone the subtopics. So hang in there, folks. Help is on the way. God is on the throne. God bless everybody. Have a great evening.